hell's the old lumberjack timber beast? What are you doing sitting there staring at that big white pine?
Hey, Ollie, you wet behind the ears greenhorn. I was watching that darn squirrel up there, and he's been watching me all morning.
Well, I always thought you were kind of nuts. I guess this finally proves it.
You got a lot to learn, young feller. The first thing I got to do is start my undercut, and it determines what direction the tree will fall. One mistake, and you can be killed. I need to be darn sure I know how that tree is balanced before I make that cut. I gotta read it first.
Read? I didn't know you knew how to read. Well, it's pretty obvious the tree's leaning north. Why don't you just cut it so it falls north?
I would. But whenever I raise my axe, that squirrel, he runs to the other side, and it throws off the balance. He's a regular pine puma, that one. I reckon he'll get tired and move on in a bit.
Oh, come on, old man. Do you have him trapped up in the tree, or does he have you trapped on the ground? How about you just swing that axe? Speaking of it, what kind of axe is that there anyway?
Well, that's a Michigan double bitter. It's the best kind of axe there is. It was forged by a man named Bunyan, Paul Bunyan.
Oh, yeah. He made that axe himself, did he?
No, but he made the first one over in the UP of Michigan. Well, the whole town came to see it used. Everything went all right with Paul swinging the axe, but then that cook, that Sven Peterson, he decided to give it a shot. Well, Sven was pretty good with the cleaver, but he wasn't so good with an axe. And the whole thing slipped out of his hands, nicked the mayor's ear just as he is about to kiss a baby.
Poor baby.
Well, all the mothers got worried, and they decided to form the Organization for the Safe Handling of Axes. You heard of it? OSHA.
OSHA? Well, some of that might be true, but that part about Sven Peterson being a good cook sure wasn't. I think his flapjacks work better on the insides of my boots.
One thing you better learn quick, Ole, is that everything a veteran lumberjack tells you is the truth. Of course, the truth is what you believe it to be, right?
That's another thing. Whenever you tell a story that sounds like it could be true, you always add that funny little laugh right there at the end of it. And I mean, it introduces this element of uncertainty and just drives you about crazy. Like that other night, you were talking about that camp over by Embarrassed there, about it getting real cold that one night.
Oh, yeah. That was about the time that cold almost killed us. Well, that was the coldest winter I could remember, and it was even colder than some I couldn't remember. Yeah. Well, the bull cook, he told me it was -0 yesterday, and it was twice as cold today. Well, during the, we were drinking our blackjack, you know, and it was so cold, it froze so fast that the ice was still hot. And that was in the warmest part of the day. And then that night, she got cold. We were sleeping in the bunkhouse and the men started snoring, and it was so cold, them snores was freezing as they were coming out of their mouth.
Well, that's surprising considering all the hot air you're full of.
Well, I saw it myself. I woke up that night and I smelled smoke, and I figured something wrong with the chimney. And as it turned out, it was so cold that smoke had come up and it froze. Well, we sent one of the younger fellers up there with a Swede saw to cut it off. Well, you can't waste good smoke, you know. So we decided we're going to throw her back in the stove.
Uh-huh, and how well did that work out?
Well, it didn't work so good. We lugged that chunk of smoke back in the bunkhouse, opened the door of the barrel stove to throw it in. Just about that time, a big gust of icy wind came through that front door, hit that stove, and the fire froze.
You know, Nels, I bet you could have been a fiction writer instead of a lumberjack. And hey, looks like that squirrel finally ran off. Guess you can cut your tree.
Oh, no. That's just what he wants us to think. See his little tail up there poking around? He's hiding on the other side. If we cut it now, it's going to tip right back up on top of us. You got to be careful with squirrel. They're much smarter than you think. Vicious, too. Say, did I tell you about the time I went fishing with Swedish dynamite?
Wait a minute. You're telling me the Swedes got their own dynamite now?
Well, they sure do. You see, I went down to the river to the place where we cut that big hole to water the horses. And I took a handful of Copenhagen, and I sprinkled it on top of the water. Well, when you do this, the fish, they come up to investigate. About this time, a great big old muskie came up in the hole.
Well, you grabbed him, didn't you?
No. I waited.
How'd you know he'd come back?
Well, when he came up and he grabbed that mouthful of snooze, he went back down. I figured when he gets done chewing her, he's going to have to come up and spit. And if you've ever tried to spit underwater, you know what I'm talking about.
Well, did he come back?
Well, he sure did, and I was ready. I crouched on the edge of that hole, and up he come, and I grabbed him by the bottom jaw.
Well, then you must have had him.
Well, not exactly. You see, just as I got a hold of him, he clamped down on my arm with his razor-sharp teeth, and he started swimming backwards. I lost my balance, and down I went. He pulled me under the ice, took me for a couple laps around the lake. I would have been a goner if he hadn't gotten bored. Boy, lucky for me, he let me loose right under the hole where I went in.
Well, how'd you get out?
Well, it wasn't easy, because you see, the edge of that hole was slippery. So, it was really cold, and I'd already got pretty soaked up, so I pulled off my big Mackinac, and I pulled it out, and I slapped her on the ice. And I waited about an hour or so until she froze down, and then I pulled myself up out of the hole.
Huh. Well, after that, you tell me you didn't get any fish?
Actually, I did. You see, when I was floating there, I felt something wiggling in my boots, and it turned out the water was so cold that a whole school of fish swam in there just to get warm.
So did you eat the fish?
Well, some of the men did. You see, the fish had kind of a funny smell because they'd been marinating in my boots with my wool socks. Well, the Norwegians, they said it kind of reminded them of lutefisk, and they ate them, bones and all.
It kind of sounds like those greenhorns in your stories. They just swallow them, tall tales and all. Now, have you figured out how to cut that tree down yet? It looks like the squirrel finally did leave this time.
Hey, I think you're right. Now it's just me and the tree. No squirrel to throw off the balance. Ole, I'll tell you, there's one thing you gotta know.
What's that?
If you can find balance in your life, you'll do okay. Life is always gonna throw a few squirrels at you.
I'll make sure to duck when I see them coming.
You see, squirrels are a metaphor for change. Change makes life unpredictable. It throws things out of whack, and if you're patient, change will get bored and it'll go away. An equilibrium will return to your life. Life is a fine line, and you just gotta know how to walk it.
Huh. Sounds like knowing the difference between fiction and nonfiction.
Yeah. You know, if in doubt, keep one foot on each side. It's all about balance, Ole.
Ole and Nels. Ole and Nels. That's Ed Nelson and his son Matt from here in Hibbing. Ed teaches at the Grand Rapids Forest History Center, and Matt is a writer for our show.